You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. All right. This is the same reason rock stations always think that they're going to impress you with their hipness by having an animal mascot who's wearing sunglasses and usually holding a guitar. Which is, well, we're K, you know, cow or K bull or K eagle or something. And there's always some animal, like it'll be a bear, like a polar. I didn't work there, but I worked down the hall from. I worked at the same building as a rock station a few years ago. And it was K Bear. Good people, good company, bad logo. Logo, polar bear with glasses. Backward turn baseball cap, holding a guitar, and like not even making the devil horn, just putting his fist in the air because he's a really rocking polar bear. Like, at what point would you ever think that was cool? And this is the other thing I don't get about radio. I don't understand. I'm not going to dwell on this because we're going to get to Marcia here, but I don't understand the correlation between radio stations and animal mascots. I really don't. I can almost see the correlation between sports and animal mascots. Active, you know, sort of physical, sort of aggressive competition. Radio, it just seems dumb, though, especially because radio stations always pick stupid mascots.
Watch what you say. You know, our godlike program director, Bruce, comes from cat country.
Well, but that wasn't his idea. He didn't decide to call it cat country. And by the way, in the last two markets I've worked in, the cat country logo, it was sort of, it was like a cougar or something, you know, or a panther, and it was pastel. It was pastel blue and pink. Because that's what you want. You want a panther who strikes fear into people by being pink and blue. Rawr. You know, it's like, what is that? Is that to appeal just to the... What is that? Meow, meow. You know? It's just so retarded. Anyway.
You gotta do the little tongue pop when you do the meow, meow.
Oh, it's just...
It'll sell it.
It's just bad. We worked next to an adult contemporary station that was the Bee. And the Bee, it was like, I guess it was supposed to be a bumblebee, but it just looked like it had a fat ass. Or that it was like carrying a load, something like it had a bad diaper on or something. It was just stupid. It was. And so for the longest time, just real briefly, before we got these animal calls, go figure there. I pushed for so long for our talk station there. We were doing this hot talk station in Salt Lake. I pushed for so long for us to get like a tapeworm or something just repellent, something awful. You know, what do you want? I want a gutter snake. Well, why? Just because. You know, I wanted something awful. I wanted series like an aphid or even like Santa Cruz, they have the Fighting Banana Slugs. I mean, that's a little, you know, the style there.
Weren't we talking about having a mascot for our station?
Yeah, but I wanted it to be something retarded. I wanted it to be stupid.
Let's have it be the Sasquatch.
The Yeti? See, you could do that. We could, yeah. You know.
An orangutan.
Okay. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's see, we got the top five coming up this hour. Top five artists who used to be good, who now suck. And then a lot of fierce competition for that, by the way. We had trouble narrowing it down to six. But later on, top five artists who used to be good, who suck now. Jolie from the front desk. Don't forget, tomorrow coming up, the listeners talk back to Jolie. Your chance to tell Jolie what you think of her advice. Low these many weeks. Later on, Betsy's going to be here and all of that. We're going to get Dennis in a moment. Let's go to Washougal. It's Marcia. You're on Hot Talk today. What's up?
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking, and I came up with three movies right off the top of my head. Turner and Hooch.
Oh, God. We're starting off on the right foot there. Turner and Hooch.
I think that's a good movie.
Yeah, it was great.
Is Turner and Hooch the one with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
K-9 with Jim Belushi.
Yeah, okay.
And Any Which Way But Loose, all of those.
See, I would almost grant you Any Which Way But Loose, if you're drunk and or high. Turner and Hooch and K-9. Anything starring Jim Belushi can't be on anybody's top five anything. There's no list of anything good about movies that can have Jim Belushi.
Oh, no. You
Unless you're talking about Trading Places. That's the sole good Jim Belushi appearance in any movie ever.
No.
Turner and Hooch.
He was, About Last Night was a good movie.
When is the last time you watched Turner and Hooch, and why?
I watch it all the time. It's always on cable.
I watch it all the time.
I do. It's on there on, like, CBS and...
Jesus, God. All right. All right. That's kind of akin to watching Like Father, Like Son with Dudley Moore over and over again. You know what I mean?
The older movies are better.
Yeah, whatever happened to classics like Turner and Hooch?
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're going to be able to tell your kids about. I don't understand you kids in these movies today. When I was growing up, we had Waterworld and K-9 and Red Heat starring Jim Belushi.
It's better than a dumb kangaroo.
Well, yeah, incrementally so, I suppose. Older movies are better, like Turner and Hooch. There's nowhere to go from there. That is just, she peaked it. There's nothing I can do with that. I can't take that anywhere. Okay. It's 503-250-TANETTI in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest
update. Let's not forget
update.
Howard the Duck while we're at it. That's some fine filmmaking.
That
it
wasn't
is indeed.
A real duck, though.
Yeah, okay. Can I just tell you, this? Here's a brief story about the Sundance Film Festival. Dead Man Walking, which was directed and I think written by Tim Robbins, debuted at the Sundance Film Festival before it debuted nationally. I think it was like 95 or something like that. Anyway, so Dead Man Walking was playing at Sundance. And, you know, they show the film, and then it's either before or after they do this panel with the director, so journalists can come up and ask the director a question about the movie. So there's this guy named Sean Means, who reviews movies for the Salt Lake Tribune. And so at the director's panel at the Sundance Film Festival, Tim Robbins is sitting up there in the dais answering questions about Dead Man Walking. And then you see this hand raised in the audience, and he says, yeah, yes, you. The guy sitting there goes, Sean Means, Salt Lake Tribune, I'd like to ask you a few questions about Howard the Duck. And it's like you never saw some, you know, like a left-leaning pacifist get this I want to kill you look on his face any faster than that. You wanted a journalist to ask him about this. Is there going to be a sequel to Howard the Duck, Tim? Anyway, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And this news is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Just keep your nest egg from breaking. Call a local State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company agent today for costs and complete details of long-term current tier insurance. Well, a diverse group of faith leaders is taking the lead in an anti-war movement that has spawned a peace march, a big one, scheduled for downtown on Saturday. The group goes beyond Buddhists and Quakers to include Roman Catholics, Scientologists, Muslims. But some people are missing, including Luis Palau, who says this is a just war. Luis Palau, well, we won't talk anymore about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's too
easy. A lot of unwanted publicity lately.
I'm not even going to touch that one.
Hey, come one, come all to the firefighters agility test. Given to the top five, not the top, so you should say the top five, the top 174 candidates who are competing to become firefighters in Portland. Now, come to the Portland Fire and Rescue Center. Friday and Saturday from noon to 6 to see somebody lifting a 20-foot aluminum extension ladder by the rungs, both ends off the ground, and hang it on hooks. This task has to be completed twice. Then they have the hose carrying a 50-foot hose with a nozzle attached to the fourth floor and returning it to the starting point.
Well, you know, firefighters carry like 120 pounds of equipment.
Yeah.
Was telling me that. It's just some ungodly amount of weight that they have to carry on them all the time. So
here's some more stuff. Fan placement, lifting a ventilation fan to the height of 7 feet, hanging it from a simulated doorway and returning it to the ground. Then they have rope pulling. Then they raise a 24-foot straight ladder from the ground to the building twice. The hand must be on the second rung from the top. Then they have the bucket carrying. They carry two fill 5-gallon foam containers 400 feet, and these weigh 45 pounds each. Then they have a simulated horse pull. Oh, that's a hose pull. I'm sorry. I knew our fire department was a little bit behind, but I didn't think they
had those budget considerations. Oh, speaking of which, let me just tell you, I got my 28 ballot in the mail the other day.
Yeah, I do too.
I never listen to the radio, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. Am I supposed to vote yes or no?
If you want the mentally retarded to be thrown into the streets, if you want police and firefighters to be fired, if you want everyone in the world to be fired, you'll vote no.
Okay, I'll have to weigh that
well,
one.
Well, no, it is then.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me give me some time to ponder.
So that's that. What else are we doing here? I don't believe it. The forecast is here. It's going to be cloudy today, even though it is sunny at the moment. High temperatures in the mid-40s to low 50s. And tonight, partly cloudy, some fog after midnight, lows in the 30s. Cloudy tomorrow, then clearing up in the afternoon, and sunny on Friday. Good day to have a sunroof, as I do in my automobile. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
Yeah, okay. What is Ian driving this week? Because you've got the new
He has the Volvo wagon.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. Nothing ending in wagon can be good.
Well, he's a family man, so it's good for him.
Yeah.
And next week, I get the Mercedes, the $90,000 Mercedes.
Oh, see, here I thought you were going to get left out in the cold. I thought you were going to be denied.
In preparation
you
for the big
SL
car show.
Next week,
yep,
huh?
The SL 500.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, times are
up. Oh, it is so nice. But this week, I have the Subaru Impreza, which is a very fine sports car indeed. It has a nice shade of blue, too, and that has the moonroof. So we'll have some sunny skies for that. And we're getting ready for the big auto show, which is coming here at the end of the month also.
I let you suddenly become a car aficionado.
And I hear I'm being invited to the Ford Motor Company cocktail party.
What? Screw you guys. What the hell, man? What is this? What's going on here?
Even though I don't drink cocktails.
At what point did this cease to be my show? Exactly when was that? Was it even this year, or was it sometime in the preceding 18
months? It's still your show.
Yeah, sure.
It really
sure
is.
All right.
I'll bring back some table linen or silverware.
Sure, it's my show the way Archie's Place was still all in the family. All right, it's 503-250-TANETTI in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. A full-time listener in John's Landing. It's Keith. What's up with you?
Good afternoon.
What do you got?
You great film with an animal co-star?
Mm-hmm.
A Boy and His Dog.
Oh, with, wait, don't tell me. With Don Johnson.
At 19 years old.
Don Johnson, post-apocalyptic nuclear holocaust talking dog.
A lovely film.
Yeah, okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, I could get with that. Although we were just talking during the top of the hour about animals in movies, and we were saying that dogs almost don't count. Dogs almost don't count in this whole equation about an animal in a film always being bad.
That little Benji doppelganger blood, that was a fine... What a job of animal wrangling that must have been, you know? I mean, of course, somehow voice was put in the dog in some kind of post-production magic, but geez.
The only good animal you can have in a movie is a spider, and that's only if it's taking over a town or if it's the size of a Buick or something and it's eating people. That's the only time that can ever be acceptable.
I think blood-giving history lessons was pretty good, though.
Mm. All right, there you go. There's Keith in John's Landing. No, because you can just tell. It's like...
Because dog was like Cujo.
Well, yeah, Cujo, or even you go on the other end, and there's Old Yeller. You know, come on. I mean, which among us can say we did not cry at Old Yeller? So dogs almost don't count. Dogs kind of fall into this honorary person category.
White Fang.
White Fang.
Where the Red Fern Grows.
Where the Red Fern Grows. See, yeah, sure. So dogs almost don't count in this whole... Because when you're sitting there, like, there's certain ways you can develop a shorthand where you don't even actually need to go see the film because you can just tell if it's going to be bad. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example. It's not just if you're co-starring with an animal, if you really want to take this to its logical extreme. Sure, an animal wearing sunglasses or an animal at any point that raps is bad. But here's another way you can tell it's a movie you never want to see. Like, you could almost just do a fill-in-the-blank. Like, you know the movie's going to be bad when... Here's another way you know the movie's going to be bad. You know the movie's going to be bad when there's an adult who's wackily paired with a child, especially if the adult has to solve a crime. If the adult has to solve a crime or woo a woman, and it involves being paired with a child who is not his and who he initially dislikes, yet comes to love and learns something from. That's how you know it's a movie you don't ever need to see.
Come on, Cop and a Half was a feat of cinematography.
Chuck Norris, baby.
No, Burt Reynolds.
No, Cop and a Half was Chuck Norris.
I don't think so. Wasn't it Burt Reynolds and then the little African-American kid? I don't know what his name is.
I swear to God, that was Chuck Norris.
I don't know. I'll look it up on IMDb.
Okay. Let's see. We got Charles. You're on Hot Talk Tonight.
Hey, he's right. Cop and a Half is Burt Reynolds. You're thinking
sidekicks. I'm thinking of Sidekicks. That's what I'm thinking of.
Hey, yeah, how about,
I'm right.
I stand
how about
corrected.
Killer Rats? What movie does that bring back to mind?
Killer Rats. That's one of two movies. You're either talking about Ben or you're talking about Deadly Eyes.
Well, Willard.
Or not Ben, but yeah, but Willard, because of the movie, the Ben and the Michael Jackson song. Okay, yeah. So Willard
Ben,
or Deadly
Ben,
Eyes?
Ben actually came out, was a sequel to Willard.
Right, right. Okay,
but,
I can get with animals. Also, Night Shift, which was based on the Stephen King short story, the same name. I can get with animals if they're... Okay, here's another exception to the movies with animals are always bad rule. If the animal has been altered by radiation, then it's an okay movie. If it's an animal that has been altered because of nuclear holocaust or exposure to gamma rays in some way, if it's a cautionary tale about science gone mad, then it's an acceptable animal.
Okay, here's my bad for the year, late last year.
Yeah.
Eight-legged freak.
Oh, yeah, with what's his name, David Arquette.
It sucked so bad it was funny.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, those movies from the 50s were always the exception. Like, if you see Them, that's a movie you can get with. All right, in Portland, it's a full-time listener. It's Eric, what's up?
Hey, I just want to have one word for you there, Rick.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Jaws, we'll see, but again, so I think if the animal's killing somebody, that might sort of be something, an exception that proves the rule. I think we're talking about animals being paired with humans in some way.
All right, well, one more then. Bringing Up Baby, I think Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn probably had a pretty good career even after.
I don't think I've ever seen Bringing Up Baby. Although it should be noted that I made a reference to Harvey by talking about 6-foot invisible rabbits, and Sarah had no clue as to what I was talking about. So that's yet another I feel old moment. All right, there you go. There's Eric. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Oh, here's another sign. Is if we're listing now that you know a movie's going to be bad when. You know a movie's going to be bad when it revolves around an establishment, usually a building, sometimes a club, sometimes an orphanage. It's an establishment that is about to be destroyed by a greedy land developer, and that the kids have got to find some way within. They only have, and it's always, they only have like 4 days. They've always got 4 days, like 1 week, to save the building before it's razed to make way for high-level apartments.
That's obviously not correct. Goonies was a fine movie.
Oh.
And I just told him that, too.
Oh, you're being fed lines
from offstage. No. She did say Goonies, though. That was the first thing that popped into my mind. That's a great movie.
Yeah,
and it
okay.
does have an octopus in it that was cut out.
I'd grant you that. Have you seen the outtakes of the
God.
Octopus?
How he eats the boombox.
Dude, you've got to see. Rent the Goonies DVD. Is that where you saw it?
Oh, yeah, in the Cyndi Lauper video.
Oh.
Like, the extended
Good enough. For you there.
And the octopus
Good
is dancing
enough.
In the background. Oh, man,
you want to see a fine DVD? Rent the Goonies DVD. Man, have we just entered the sanctum sanctorum of geekdom with this or what? And it's you who did it. You, the one least likely of everybody here to have talked about the Goonies DVD, because you were like 5 when that came out.
Well, I have the book, and it had all these pictures on the inside, and I always saw this octopus picture.
What book of the Goonies?
I don't know, some really old one. And it had a picture of an octopus, and I've always wanted to see that scene because it's cut out of the movie. And so I finally found it on the DVD, and I can see why they cut it out.
The Goonies DVD is great. It's got the octopus scene that's been deleted, and then it's got a commentary with Richard Donner and every one of the kids. It's got the little Asian gimmick, you know, gadget kid. It's got Corey Feldman. It's got Sean Astin. It's got them all. It's got Martha Plimpton. Go, Martha. So it's got, I'm all for that. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. Oh, is this Lauren from Milo's? Yeah, okay, so we'll get him in just a second. Don't go anywhere. Let's get Dean in Portland. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. What's up?
Not much, Rick. Hey, a little exception to your exception. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles suck.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, any movie that has a song by Vanilla Ice on it can't be good.
And also, here's my admission to wisdom. My dog, Skip. That movie made me cry.
Skip. My dog, Skip. What is my dog, Skip?
Got the kid from Malcolm in the Middle and a Jack Russell Terrier.
Does at the end, does a dog give its life to save its owner?
No, but he was run over or something again. He was back on the table, and the kid says, "I love you," and then the dog's all automatically okay.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
I'm with any movie where a dog sacrifices itself or runs the risk of sacrificing itself for its owner. Here's another exception. Any movie where an animal takes on a treacherous journey to find its family, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with any movie where an animal has to go through all kinds of misadventures and travel thousands of miles to find its owners. I'm good with that. All right. Oh, so in a second, we'll talk to Lauren at Milo's, which is he's a listener of the show, and he runs Milo City Cafe, which is a great place where I finally ate after badgering Matt Peterson for hours. After much badgering, the gift certificate finally accrued back to its rightful owner, and I was able to partake of some Milo's food.
That's only because I was unable to use it because I was going to Florida.
Yeah, so
had I not been going to Florida, I'd have used it that week, and you wouldn't have gotten anything.
Well, thanks for your sympathy.
Yeah. My orange is still missing.
Maybe it'll turn up in your $90,000 Benz next week.
Yeah, partly while I shed some tears for Tim Riley. All right. We'll be back in a moment. We got more of your calls, and later on, top 5 musical artists who used to be good, who suck now. Stay there. We'll be back.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And I think the video for Goonies Are Good Enough has Captain Lou Albano in it.
Oh, my God. It does. Yeah. And they're all dancing around the
good
gas
enough.
Station. And she
good
ends up in the cave.
Good enough.
The Goonies video by Cyndi Lauper, Goonies Are Good Enough, little known fact, it actually had two different versions. There was two different versions of the video.
And they're both on the DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
I only watched the first one.
No, there's like, I think there's about three different videos.
I remember back in the day, MTV aired it, and the first part ended like a cliffhanger. And then about a month later, they rotated into, they put in rotation a different version of the video, which resolved the adventure. I have no idea why I know any of this.
Nerds.
Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
127, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by the Portland Trail Blazers. It's a double meal deal tonight when the Blazers host the Memphis Grizzlies. At 7 o'clock at the Rose Garden, buy two tickets and get $6 in arena food coupons for only $29 or $45. Plenty of great seats still available at the Rose Quarter Ticket Office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or visit Blazers.com. The president will speak out against affirmative action in just a few minutes. We'll have coverage on that for you a little bit later. But first, Jason Lee plays a man who wakes up in the morning after his bachelor party in bed with a strange woman, Julia Childs. Automatically, he presumes he cheated on his fiancée and begins to make up lies to cover his butt in a guy thing. Jason talks about why he and the director fought to change the title and then wound up keeping it.
It represents what surrounds Paul, his character. He makes this mistake. He feels guilty. The people around him, mainly his friend Jim, thinks it's a good thing that he's brought this girl home, you know, the night of his bachelor party. Don't worry about it. It's a guy thing. He's being surrounded by this on one hand, and then he's with the wrong girl on the other, who's kind of like, who's got the leash on him a little bit.
Oh, sounds like fun. Jason explains the type of press he likes to do for his films.
I like to kind of do what I have to do for the movie and you know, help it as much as I can, but I think ultimately it's up to the audience. It's up to, you know, the people and how they feel about it and how much they want to go and see it. And then I just kind of draw back in, wait for the next project, and then do it. Kind of put the work first as much as I can.
A guy thing opens on Friday. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Cloudy skies, even though it's sunny. Highs in the 40s. Cloudy tonight. Cloudy tomorrow, sunny by Friday. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Don Imus. Tom Likas. John and Jeff. Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Wow. The guy's like 3.5 feet tall, and he sounds like Elvis.
Mother!
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland.
If you're going to sing, I'm going to turn off the bump music.
It's dancing. All right, anyway. Okay, so before we got the top five artists who used to be good who now suck coming up. But we're talking to Lauren here from Milo City Cafe, which is, it's on Broadway, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're a listener to the show. You'd been on a Dining Out, on KFTK's Dining Out, a couple weeks ago with Mark Marshall.
Yeah, I think I even sat in your chair.
Yeah, slid a gift certificate to Mark, which he then dangled in front of me like a bastard and gave to Matt Peterson.
As it should be.
Who then gave it back to me, not out of the goodness of his heart, because he's a kind person, but because he was going to be on vacation and couldn't use it. So I came in. You guys got some great food going on, though.
Thanks.
There was this linguine chicken thing that was really good. Then I had the pasta with Italian sausage. So this is not, I'm not being paid for this. I mean, it was a gift certificate and everything. But I mean, it's not, you guys got great food, though.
Thanks. Well, I brought it in just because I dig your show and
excellent.
Wanted to see it.
And where are you guys, where's your place at?
We're on Northeast 13th and Broadway.
Okay, so you see, people should definitely go in there. And you had some salmon and lox that was really good as well.
Yeah.
And the chick who waited on us was hot. I don't know her name, but there was some, damn, she looked like a little pixie.
That's my niece.
Oh, well, never mind.
She looks at me, she says, thanks a lot, Uncle Lauren.
Well, let's forget I said that then.
No, that's cool.
I don't want to lust after members of your family. That's wrong on a lot of levels.
Could have been worse. It could have been his daughter. See if he's any more gifts.
Oh, yeah, see, that would have been just to say, there'd be nothing. It would be ground glass in my food after that. So excellent. Good stuff, man. So you guys going to be back on Dining Out? Because I could use some more of that food.
I could hope so.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the next one. I'm not going on vacation for a while.
You're a bastard. See what I have to deal with here? All right, so people should go check it on, what, 13th and Broadway?
13th and Broadway.
13th and Broadway, Lauren, and it's Milo City Cafe.
Well, so. I also want you to call me when you got those culinary questions.
Oh, excellent. We will. We'll
all do things
it.
Culinary.
All right, there you go. There's Lauren from Milo City Cafe. Good place. Yeah, this girl was really cute, though. I know that she's the niece, but, man. Okay. Let's see.
I have to go in there for lunch just to see.
Let's quickly get the Jeff in Portland. What's up?
Hi, Rick. As much as I love the Goonies, mind you, I do have one greater exception than that, and that's the Blues Brothers.
Because they have to save the orphanage.
Right.
Yeah.
Truly the movie that every man who wishes he was cool and had soul, their favorite movie of all time.
Seriously, I was in the conference room a few weeks back, and Tony from Promotions was there, and just allowed to no one, I said some line from the Blues Brothers, and Tony then takes it and says the next line, and then I said the next line. We went back and forth. We could have done the whole movie right there, just like it was Waiting for Godot. We could have just spit the whole thing out right there in the conference room. Every man beautiful. Must be with that. All right. We're going up north to put the word in the streets. Yeah. Anybody cooler than Cab Calloway? Not in this universe. Mark in Beaverton, what's up?
Well, you know, it was just blown for me. I was going to mention Blues Brothers as well because it's such a great flick, and it just immediately jumped into my mind as an exception to the rule, beaten to the punch.
No, every guy is with them, man. The Blues Brothers. And the DVD is great, too, because it's got a little documentary and a thing about John Belushi on this. You should check out the DVD.
Awesome, I should.
All right, there you go. This is Mark in Beaverton. Let's get Josh. He's a first-time caller in Portland.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, the exception to the rule as far as animals and humans are concerned, how about one of the greatest hot chick nuclear holocaust movies, A Boy and His Dog?
A Boy and His Dog, also Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yes.
Which stars a race of gigantic frogs bent on enslaving Earth women, and Roddy Piper is the last fertile man on Earth who has to impregnate them while killing the giant frogs.
All wonderful, wonderful scenes. And please don't tell me it was just like Waiting for Godot. Please, tell me it wasn't.
Sorry about that. It was just like Die Hard with a vengeance. All right, hang on. Let's see.
Yeah, it really probably was like Waiting for Godot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Abraham Cross. Well, in any event, okay, we'll get Gabe and John here in a dispute, and not the threesome, Gabe, by the way. You missed the whole threesome thing, incidentally.
So, you know, what happened with that?
I don't have time to tell you. We'll have to do it on the other side here. We got to do the top five. So we'll get Gabe and John here at first opportunity. Let's roll into today's top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Quack!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
It's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom with today's Top 5. And these are the top 5 artists who used to be good, but who suck now. These are the top 5 artists who were good, but as they say in the rap world, have fallen off, as it were. Honorable mention goes to Madonna. Worst Bond theme ever, by the way.
I just am not a fan of her anymore.
Madonna, the last good song she did was Ray of Light.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's like her whole thing is change her image and not being what everybody else is.
She used to be ahead of the curve now.
Yeah, but she's really not.
Yeah, she's playing catch-up these days. And the thing about it, this isn't that she sucks now, by the way. I think this is sort of a warning. This is a cautionary observation. There's still time for her to turn around. She's got the talent. She's got the savvy. I'm a big Madonna fan, everybody. Well, we're all big Madonna fans. Is there anybody who's not a big Madonna fan? Come on. But if she's not careful, she's going to start to suck. Because her last couple projects have been really bad. And then, God, that hideous Guy Ritchie movie that she did.
I know, like, even her movies back in the 80s and 90s were better than the ones she's making.
Yeah. Even Shanghai Surprise was better than that.
What
was
that girl?
Swept Away or whatever? Jesus. One of these days, I can't even begin to think about putting together a Madonna list. This is going to be days and days of work. We have to do more than one Madonna list to make it happen. Madonna's enough woman
for different time periods.
Oh.
Like, for different stages.
two hottest Madonna periods ever were A, the trashy boy toy girl thing with the black arm, with the black rubber bands on the wrist, and hottest Madonna period ever, Like a Prayer. Oh, yeah.
Is that the cone booth?
No. That was that you're thinking of Express Yourself.
Okay.
She also,
Prayer, big burning cross in the background, and the dark hair.
The auburn hair, yeah. And just the strap, the red dress with the strap falling off. Man, she never looked better than Like a Prayer video.
Trashy damsel in distress.
I also like the bondage Madonna, like in the Human Nature era. I didn't know we couldn't talk about sex, where she's all in the leather and beating guys. I'm with that. Ah, all right.
Number five is Double L Cool J.
Double L. The L to the L. Now, that's the best part, is this is an LL Cool J song, but it's... It sounds like this.
And I actually had to tell Rick about this today. I broke his heart. This is an LL Cool J song as done with duet J-Lo.
Well, and the thing is, he was already on the list. But this just solidifies LL Cool J's place. Used to be great. Not so much anymore.
She said knock you out. Come on. What the hell happened?
Was LL Cool J actually ever cool?
Listen to that.
I don't remember a time when I thought he was attractive or talented.
Was LL Cool J ever cool?
That's like boring holes through me.
Ladies love Cool James.
No, they really don't.
Oh, come on. Even you have to admit that chicks dig him.
No way. I just feel like everyone feels sorry for him. He seems like this little nerdy rap kid who like everyone's trying to like...
Was LL Cool J ever cool? That hurts my soul.
And especially having cool in his name. I mean,
what are you, six? Do you not remember, like,
Mama said not round the way girl? Jingling Baby.
Come on.
I'm the type of guy. My radio, believe me, I like it loud. I'm the man with the box that can rock the rock the bells. I mean, LL Cool J had a platinum record when he was 17.
Woo.
Oh, come on.
Like they give him every little rap act nowadays.
Yeah, but he was the first. He was the pioneer.
Well, I'm sorry, but look at what he's become.
Well, that's my whole point.
Exactly.
But he was cool.
Well, if he was cool, he should have just stopped what he was doing back then.
Oh, God. These kids today, they don't know their history. Was LL Cool J ever cool? Can I tell you that literally, cool is his middle name? Literally, his middle name is cool. Who is this?
That is actually Richard Nunn.
Let's get Richard Nunn from the WB.
It pains me to my soul to hear somebody say that LL is not cool. He's Cool J.
I mean, that's the thing, is cool is his middle name.
He's the only guy that could put cool in his name, and he's already cool. He didn't need to put cool in his name to be cool.
He created, and he did the very first ever rap ballad, by the way, which was I Need Love.
Oh, Round the Way Girl? He signifies so much of what became rap for today.
He did butt songs before Mix-a-Lot, because he did Big Old Butt.
Yeah.
Back before butt songs were cool.
Obviously not as catchy.
He helped Young MC do his thing, as well as Tone Loke. I mean, the guy's been around forever. He is the godfather of rap. I don't care if people can say Snoop Dogg and stuff, Rancid, a great rap artist. I mean, I am so white of white, I'm paler than Lily White, but I can appreciate the cool in LL Cool J.
See, that's what I'm saying. It just pains me.
If you have to have it in your name, you're obviously not that cool.
Oh, okay. Okay, there you go. Richard Nunn for the WB.
Number four, Paul Simon.
This one's without... This one goes without explanation, even. Paul Simon. I mean, great with Simon and Garfunkel. Great for his first few solo records after Graceland. Crap. Crap. Nothing but crap. Crap on a platter. Somebody forgot to tell him he's not actually from Africa.
But the tribal sounds are hip with
kids.
Yeah,
sure they are. There's one man and one man alone who can do this sound, and it's Peter Gabriel, and everybody else should quit trying. You know what I mean? Plus, he loses points for being best friends with Lorne Michaels and for being married to Edie Brickell. It's so hard to believe. I mean, I don't want to knock it. It's the same guy who sang The Boxer and America and Cecilia, and now he's become this. It's just that. Number three, Metallica. This is the song when I knew there was no... Listen to it. It's not even the same band. Listen to this sing.
And then he rocks out in the chorus.
in the day, yes, the Black Album was okay.
The beginning of the end.
It was bad enough we could see it coming. I remember getting this song on the satellite feed when it first came out. When they Westwood One or somebody leaked this song to radio a week beforehand via satellite, and my friends and I were all gathered around the satellite receiver to hear the song at the station, because the Black Album had been iffy. It was a warning sign, and as soon as we heard this, we're like, well, that's it. Washing our hands of them. Just washing them right off, just turning our back on them. As soon as we heard this, we're like, that's it, they're toast. I mean, I'm second to no one in Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning. This was the great musical letdown of my generation. This is the most shattering fall of any rock artist of our time. But no more I can say about it. There's Metallica before and there's Metallica after. That's it.
Number two, Michael Jackson.
This, however, now Metallica is the most crushing fall of any artist in my time, for my people. But for this, Michael Jackson, though, falling off is like, this is right up there with when Dylan put out Self Portrait. It's up there with the fall of Elvis. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. It's true, man. This is the same guy to put out Thriller, and now
was he already downhill when that Scream video came out with Janet Jackson?
I don't know, because the Dangerous album, Dangerous had that song Jam, which was a great song. It had what's that song the with Slash on it on the Dangerous album, Given to Me or something, that was really good. I mean, that was great. Each album had its high points. Bad had some great moments on it. Even History had that They Don't Really Care About Us, which was good. But each album's been slower than the one before. Each album's been worse than the one before it.
I wrote him off when he did the duet with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. I saw that video on MTV, like, once. Looked like an Enough's Enough video. I mean, and I, it's just sad because I was a huge Michael Jackson, but we all were. He's Michael Jackson. What are you going to do? But I wanted, and I think like a lot of you, I wasn't rooting for his downfall either, man. I wanted this album to be good. I wanted Invincible to be good because I don't like to see him just get destroyed right in front of us.
Sad.
It is. It's totally sad. I was rooting for, I really was pulling for him. Just like in a strange way, I was pulling for Vanilla Ice when he put out that Hard to Swallow album. Because I think he got, Vanilla Ice got a raw deal too. He got unfairly trashed. And I was rooting for him. And then it's, Michael Jackson just couldn't pull it off. It's just sad.
Michael Jackson has gotten worse with age.
It is. It's sad. He's career arcing in reverse.
Yeah.
Number one, Elton John.
Please listen to this. Circle of Life. This is the man who sang. He sang Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Daniel, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, Tiny Dancer. He did Mad Men Across the Water.
I don't know. I like one of his new songs. I Want Love. It has Robert Downey Jr. in the video.
Right.
I really like the lyrics to that song.
That new album is supposedly a little bit of a return to form. But
yeah, Circle of Life, not so much.
So much crap for so long. And, I mean, we all love Elton John for the 70s. I mean, Rocket Man, all of those songs, The Bitch Is Back. But as soon as you do a song with someone named Kiki, it's just like all downhill from there. As soon as you sign with Disney, you're toast. Ugh. As soon as you start doing several Broadway productions, I think we can acknowledge that your rock credentials are shot. The I Want Love is okay. And what was the other one? I Want Love. And what was the one with Justin Timberlake in it? What was the Elton John song with drummers Justin Timberlake
video?
I
don't remember the name of it.
But that was a decent song.
Oh, it was a great song.
But I feel like that may be the last gasp of a dying artist. Oh, can't even think about it. All right, coming up, Jolie from the front desk later on. Betsy, stay there. We'll be back.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Here is Sarah Dillon with traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. Jolie, in just a moment, let's get full-time listener Gabe from the Crystal Ballroom. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
What do you got?
Foreign film. It was French. I saw it in 1992 when I was stationed in San Francisco. It was about a boy and his dog,
mm-hmm.
and it was like really creepy. In the I'm trying to remember the name of it. And in the end, the dog ends up killing off the boy because it was jealous about the love that the boy was getting from the parents or something weird like that.
All right.
And so if anyone can remember, it's a French film. It came out in like 90 or 91. So if anyone can remember the name, I'm trying. The name of the movie is on the tip of my tongue.
Dogs Who Kill are okay. Like Monster Dog, starring Alice Cooper. I can get with that. Here's Jolie from the front desk. Tomorrow it's the listeners talk back to Jolie. If you've been saving up comments for Jolie, you can do it tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show. All right. Today's email comes to us from John. Jolie, I've been living with my girlfriend for 2.5 years, and I'm totally happy with her. Now she's giving me an ultimatum that if I don't marry her, she's going to leave me. She says if I won't marry her, I don't really love her. Should I just marry her? Is it worth it to stop the arguing? John.
Oh, John, I dislike women that use these little guilt trip
things. Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, come on. She's trying to manipulate you.
Who are you?
Oh, yeah, she's a woman.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are you? Where have you been?
Well, okay, so I don't know if John has an idea that he ever wants to marry this woman or he just wants to live happily unmarried forever.
Right.
But I'm thinking it's not going to work out.
Well, of course not.
She's pretty soon going to want to have a baby.
Completely. See,
you know?
For once, you're right.
But, oh, thanks. But I really think you should sit down and, you know, figure out what you want out of this relationship, if it's really worth saving, because, you know, if it is, and if you do love her that much, then, you
well,
know,
marriage
what's
has
the
nothing
problem
to do
with getting married?
Marriage has nothing to do with a relationship. I mean, it's
well,
they have nothing to do with each other.
It has something to do with the relationship.
No, you can have a totally fine relationship without marriage.
Well, I know. That's true. But, you know, people have different feelings about marriage.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't see any motive for him to do it. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I'm not the first one. Tom has been saying this forever. I mean, I've been saying it forever. There's no motive. There's nothing in it for a guy to get married. There's just nothing. There's no benefit to a guy to get married. None. Zero.
Yes, there is. There's plenty.
Like what? Name one.
You know, love and security.
You can have that without being married. There's nothing in it for a guy to get married. Not one thing.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Like what? Tell me.
Well, let me think here just a second.
Okay, well, in the meantime, we're going to have Betsy, who's going to be up here with us in just a while. We've also got Richard, who wants to talk about musicians' downfall. More sputtering from Jolie. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back. Eddie KOTK, stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.